Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Thursday. First, with yesterday's news, I am Glenn ZB. We're looking back at Wednesday. And we'll have to talk about when the best time is to intervene if your neighbours are fighting. Or, indeed, is there a best time? Dads are not taking the parental leave they're entitled to. We'll drill down on this. But first up, it might be today. It actually might be today. Winston Watch Day 26 today.
Which one am I going to choose? I can't decide. So then something else comes into play. And it really is, which one am I going to get the most out of over and above what's being offered? So there's my opinion on this. But the conspiratorialists are out and about already. But we've got no more insight than anybody else. We'll have a word with Barry Soper about this a little later as the morning progresses, after he's woken up. But it's conspiracy time for those who want. This. I'm sort of, when I saw this morning, I got somewhat excited too much, but I got a bit of a vibe. Just because this is different, just because it's not happened before, just because out of those two meetings, very likely comes the answer. One more thing. The board has gone home. The New Zealand First board has gone home. There is no more real consultation to be made, although apparently there's going to be a bit more twiddling going on, but there isn't. And I suggest to you that this means that it really comes down to Winston's decision more than anybody else, because he was the only one at those meetings.
Oh, it's a farce. And to be fair, I've got to take my hat off to Leighton. I think pretty much every day he's managed to talk about it in a different way, which is amazing given that really nothing's happened for over 3 weeks now, nearly 4 weeks. Rachel thinks it's ridiculous.
Dunn says we should overhaul the negotiating process and let the Governor-General oversee it. So once the vote's been counted, she would step in and invite the party with the largest vote to form a government. So in this case, that would be National. So Bill English would invite Winston Peters to enter into coalition talks with his party, and over the coming days they would see if they could reach an agreement. Make it public. What are they talking about? What are the sticking points? If they can't reach an agreement, well, the Governor-General would then invite Jacinda Ardern to do the same. Could she form a coalition? Right now we've got these parallel negotiations taking place. Peters is playing one off against the other, and that means the two most popular parties, the two parties this country most wanted to head up a government, are now tiptoeing around a man who got 7.2% of the party vote and who failed to win the Northland electorate that he stood in as well. I mean, there's no trust here. There's no proper process. At best, it's horse trading and it's all top secret. New Zealand First even refused to tell us who was on the party's board, and yet it's the board who will decide our next government. So why the secrecy? Why can't we know the identities of this minor party that now holds so much power and influence? So I like Peter Dunn's suggestion. Get the Governor-General involved, bring an end to these parallel negotiations, and that will mean the two parties who the majority of New Zealanders voted for will be in the driving seat and not the bloke who got 7.2%.
So Rachel, pretty agitated there, and I know what you're asking as you sit there. What does Marcus Lush think about MMP now? Let's see if we can find out.
Ring up and tell me something great about MMP, even if you hate it, and ring and tell me something great about Winston. We've got to be positive. But I believe in MMP. I've enjoyed the governments we've had. I've liked the variety. We got Nandor, remember that? With his dreadlocks, although dreadnoughts, as Jim Bolger called them. It was a learning curve for everyone. We got David Seymour. We've got all sorts of interesting characters in Parliament. We got diversity. We got Mojo Mathers, New Zealand's first deaf member of Parliament, who did extraordinary work. Unfortunately, she's gone. She'll be next on the list. But, you know, these people never would have got representation. And these people are heroes to some communities. And they look at Parliament and think, gosh, that's our people there. That's a true representation. Yeah, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I love it. Love it to pieces. And you're not everyone's in government. But, you know, they're in select committees and it's all about an exchange of ideas. And with connectivity, often it's people share the lifts together and ideas get passed around. Yeah. I think it's fulfilled beyond its promise. Beyond its promise. We just need to get rid of the orange guy.
So, hang on. Marcus sort of likes MMP for the entertainment value. Is that... And it sounds like he loves a meeting. I wouldn't have expected that from Marcus living down there, sort of alone in rugged terrain. Anyway, let's leave that there for the time being. Maybe as Peter Dunne has been suggesting, somebody needed to just sort of intervene in the process somewhere along the way. A bit like when your neighbours fight.
We've had a few issues previous with a few of our neighbours, one in particular about four doors down from us. And it seems to be like the mum, there's a mum and daughter that live there, and it seems to be the daughter's boyfriend. They have a kid together. And probably once a month they decide that they want to have a dispute about 2:30 in the morning out on the side of the road, to do with alcohol and money. Yeah, and it's just like, you know, that time of the morning is, you know, like when it first happened, I mean, we've been in our current house nearly 7 years, and I mean, this has been going on for probably, I'd say, 5 of the 7 years we've been there. You know, the first couple of times you sort of go out there and say, hey, you know, like, do you realise it's 2 in the morning and, you know, some of us actually have to get up and go to work in the morning because they pretty much just sit around and drink on the front lawn all day. And, yeah, you know, you sort of address it, and then every time after that, it's easy just to deal with the police, you know, just ring the cops and say, hey, you know, there's something going on at this address again. You know, and then we had about 2 weeks ago from the same house, they actually had a party, and there was about 40 people, I'd say at least, walking up and down the street all fighting with each other and smashing bottles and trying to break into cars, kicking over letterboxes and wheelie bins and stuff. It was just absolutely delightful. Out of control.
Well, in that situation, you definitely have to call the police because, you know, you don't want to get yourself in amongst that.
Yeah, you're definitely outnumbered on that sort of thing. But, you know, it's just like, where do you draw the line, you know? Like, I think it's easier just to actually call the police nowadays. You know, they're a bit better trained than the average person just to deal with situations like that. I mean, there's obviously being a good neighbour and, you know, just having a chat to them. But it's, you know, where do you draw the line and say, you know, I've talked to you a couple of times about it, but it's still going on. You know, just make it a police matter.
Mm. Yeah. You know, I think you raise a valid point. I suppose they're better trained to be, what was I going to do? I was going to go and say, look, I don't think you should be, A, having this argument in front of your kid. But, you know, maybe you should have it another time or not so publicly. Is that wrong? I don't know. Dirty laundry is dirty laundry, but you're better to keep it in-house or you're not.
Yeah, don't wait to call the police. I mean, I've called the police when the neighbours had a party and there were people urinating on my fence. I think that's a police matter. And the police came very quickly as well. So that's a clear indicator when if there's urine going on your fence, call the police. That's one rule, I think, straight off the bat. We're going to finish up here with a little bit of talk about why dads aren't using the parental leave they're entitled to.
What do you make of this? Is this what you have seen in the workplace?
Well, it is unfortunately how some men feel, but early attachment and bonding is essential for both mums and dads. The role of nurturing, I think, is equally a male role as it is a female role.
Is this a Kiwi mindset, though, that men don't believe they should be taking time off work for this?
I think it's very much to do with our Western culture and since the Industrial Revolution, where we've moved away from the home, you know, for work in factories and other places, that we're not around our kids, you know, lots of the time.
And
I've got a son who's been very lucky that he was actually the primary caregiver for his daughter for the first 26 weeks of her life. And they've just had another child, and he felt it was so important he's taken 5 weeks off work so that he can be about to assist mum and the rest of the family. Two nurturing parents, I'd say, is always better than one.
It's not rocket science. I mean, given the choice between going to work and spending time with my kids, I would choose work every time. Obviously. I don't understand why this is such a news story. Anyway, I'm Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB for Thursday. I will see you back here again tomorrow. Don't worry, it doesn't, even if suddenly a kid I didn't even know I had suddenly appeared, I'll still be here. You can count on it.